97.5 The Fanatic.
801-975 The Fanatic, Craft Hall Brewery, 901 North Delaware Ave is where we are, having a good conversation with our guy Eric stopping by. Thanks for stopping by, man. Joe Torre, Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. As we, Joe, so during the break, let's tell the people real fast.
Oh, man, we went exploring.
So we went exploring. We went down to the area for the children and all, for the family area.
For the children. For the children. For us.
No, we found some stuff for us.
Yeah.
How about Nintendo?
Yeah, there's like a regular like NES
a
Nintendo
real
setup down there.
For Nintendo, like the televisions and the seat. Yeah, listen, Tecmo Bowl, Donkey Kong, I saw.
Zelda.
Zelda, we saw down
Metroid.
There.
Metroid. Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
There's all the good stuff. There's Ski Ball down there.
Yes.
Which
I'm a pro.
You're a pro?
I'm a pro.
I landed it in the corner for the first time in my life, like, last week. I had never done that before.
The high number.
Yeah, I'd never done that before, so I got that. There's the phone booth down there.
Phone booth down there.
There's a photo booth.
Yes.
And the best part, I don't know how no one has thought of this before. This is genius. You got the playhouse, the slide, the swings, and everything like that, right?
Right, right.
You're watching the kids. You turn 180 degrees, and there is a bar right there waiting for you. That is a genius idea.
Not to mention the three televisions down there, the one big projector screen, and the two screens right behind the bar. Fantastic area. And you can also, Joe, nice weather night like tonight and tomorrow, you can go outside on the sidewalk garden where are patio seating and everything. I mean, come on. We're going to be back here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at some point.
And not
probably
to be paid
not working.
Either.
No, no, no. We're just going to come out here and hang out. And again, Andrew Salchunas tomorrow with the watch party. Great people here so far. Good conversation on the phones as well. 610-632-0975. So as we before we get back to the phones, and we want to throw something else out there with the running backs about what we're talking about with the birds. Simple question, guys. Who do you want to get more of the touches out of the backfield? Miles Sanders or Jordan Howard? We've seen them through three games. We've gotten a good feel, we think, of how opinions have been shaped around the Eagles fans so far.
Yes.
Through these three games. Up and down play for both. Some good things, some bad things that we've seen. Some things that have cost the Eagles a little bit, of course, with the fumbling situation by Miles Sanders. Jordan Howard missing lanes to get some extra yards, to get some good runs off for the Philadelphia Eagles. And we want to know, Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, who do you want to see get the ball more starting tomorrow?
Yes.
Against the Green Bay Packers.
Understanding you probably want to see
Eagles win. You want to see both.
I understand.
But someone is probably going to get more touches than the other, and you might prefer one over the other. 610-632-0975. And this is a great spot. I just can't stress it enough. Real fast. At
Devon can't help but notice, and the people out there,
please tell
despite
them.
Us being here, this is a good-looking crowd. Like, despite us bringing down, you know, the average, it's a good-looking crowd.
Crowd.
Just saying.
Fantastic crowd.
Yeah.
Fantastic crowd. Great crowd. We just had a great crowd in front of us.
Yes.
You know, and we mentioned our friend Eric.
Yeah, Eric's
by
the man.
Had a conversation with us.
Thank you, Eric.
Here at Craft Hall Brewery, 901 North Delaware Avenue. Joe Dierte on Twitter. First priority for the defense should be avoiding free plays at all costs, since Rodgers takes advantage better than anybody. Maybe that means we get no pressure, but bend, no break might be the way to go this game anyway. So it might not matter as much.
He's on to something. The way that you are in this game is if there are a lot of field goals being kicked and a lot of incomplete passes on third down, a lot of like fourth and four situations where they're not going to go for it. Like, I think that that's kind of where you have to live if you're the Eagles. I think that there will be a time this season, Devon, where you can start dictating to other teams. This does not feel like one of those weeks. This is like a survive and advance kind of week.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. One more before we get to the phones. Joe says maybe they didn't bench him right away after the fumbles because they don't want to destroy his rookie confidence so early, especially if they think he'll need to emerge at some point for the ground game to produce. If it was week 10 or something, might be different.
Sanders. All right, so it's a sample size question for Miles Sanders, right? Ignoring the fact that he fumbled all over the place in college, right? now he's fumbled in the NFL, and we haven't seen the tweaks. Like, and not everybody's a fumbler. It's not just a technique situation. LeSean McCoy holds the ball the worst of any back ever seen in my entire life.
Never
LeSean McCoy's not a fumbler.
Never puts it on the ground.
It's what it is.
It's like a loaf of bread, he carries it.
Yeah, just out there.
Out there. You can smack it out of his hand. Don't you can't, though, because he doesn't allow
it.
He's too elusive, too shifty. He's too shady. You can't get to him, and he does not drop the ball. Of course, but you
heard, that's what you mean by shady. I thought you were also correct about the other thing. You know,
you heard Mike Gross say, though, a fumbling issue that they've been trying to work on since he's been with them by protecting the football. They know it. They saw it. It's just like Carson Wentz. Protect yourself. These injuries we can't have. Slide. Don't take on a hit.
Yes.
Miles Sanders. We saw the fumbles. We know about the fumbles. Hold the football. This might have to be an Omar Epps situation in the program. Walk around with the football. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Drew since he's been hanging on the phones right here on 97.5. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? What's going on, Joe?
What's happening?
Hey, Drew. Doing great.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, you guys have me at Nintendo and green chicken wings.
Listen, man.
If I was in Westchester, I'd be there right now, guys.
Hey, tomorrow. Watch party. Andrew Salchunas. Be here.
There you go. Maybe, man. I got to see these green wings to believe it. So.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, just hanging out, watching a little preseason hockey. Can't wait for that to start up. But about the Eagles, I really am kind of I don't really know what to expect this game because it's kind of like if this team doesn't perform the way it should, like we saw last week, then we're going to be in trouble again. But if everybody does their job like they should and, you know, we don't give off 6 points to turnovers, we don't give off a kickoff return, guys keep the balls in their hands and keep the balls in their hands when they're thrown to their hands, we're going to be okay, I think. I don't see Green Bay as this huge, big, you know, monster that we can't beat. So just to throw out a prediction, I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think we're going to limit them to maybe 20 points or so, but I think it's going to be close, maybe like a 23-20 game, and I'm not sure who's going to win that game, but I'm hoping it's going to be the Eagles.
Well, Drew, we hope it's the Eagles as well, man. Thanks for the call.
It needs to be. You know, early on in the season, you asked me the question, do you consider this a must-win game at this point?
I do. I don't think you want to go down 1-3 with the schedule getting to what the schedule will be. We know about the Jets being up, and that's good for you.
Yeah.
But you'll, be 2-3 at that point, and then you start to get to Dallas and the road games with Dallas and Buffalo that stuff.
Dallas is playing well, right? So I get that the season's young, but I don't want to be in a position where the Eagles are trying to make up 5 games on the Cowboys in the division.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to even want to have that question. I don't want to go there. So if you get back to 2-2, I'm sure that Dallas is going to win this week. And it's not the worst thing in the world. You're 2 games back. You've got to play them twice. They always drop one against Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are other things you can look at, right? If you go down 1-3 in the first 4 weeks with no signs on the horizon that things are going to get any better as your schedule gets tougher, I mean, we could be talking about dramatically altered expectations. We could be talking about, the Eagles, as they do, they're between 7-9 and 10-6. That's like that is not what we would qualify as the new norm.
And I'm pretty sure if they do get like that, right? We'll be talking about on Monday, Joe. All right, have your expectations changed now?
Yeah, that'll be the question.
Right?
Absolutely, guaranteed.
Yep, 610-632-0975. The running backs, Sanders or Howard, when you call in to talk about the game and give us your prediction.
Yes.
We want to know, who do you want to see get more touches, Sanders or Howard? We want to see them both do well, but you may have your favorite. A lot of people may have now changed their mind on Howard. You might have changed your mind on Sanders. Who do you feel like you want to see the bulk of the carries go to or the bulk of the touches? Because we know a lot happens out of the backfield. But really out of the backfield, we know it's going to be Miles Sanders more than Jordan Howard. He also dropped the football on one of those 7 drops. Jordan Howard, right in his hands. Right in his hands.
And these are the things that we talk about, right, where you're looking at Carson Wentz's quarterback rating and his completion percentage and stuff like that. It's like, You expect some of these things to go. And if you convert on 4 out of the 7 drop passes, you're talking about a game that Carson Wentz has, and you're also talking about a win that the Eagles have. Not excusing Wentz necessarily, but just saying that it is a team effort. So to put everything on one player, whether it's Howard or Sanders or Wentz or Jeffrey or whoever, Aguilar, whoever you want to throw out there,
yeah,
it's not fair to do. But individuals do have to start playing a lot better if the Eagles are going to turn this thing around.
610-632-0975, and somebody is returning for the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get to that.
Yes.
Shortly, Nick in Westchester next on the Fanatic. Nick, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Awesome, Nick. Thanks.
I'm actually a Green Bay fan, and this game worries me for 3 reasons. One reason, you guys are getting Alshon back. I think that gives Carson a lot more confidence and takes a lot of pressure off of the young wideout. Number two, Green Bay has been a strong first half team and a weak second half team, where you guys have kind of been the opposite. You guys finished strong. Normally, I think the team finishing stronger after halftime normally benefits them. And for the last reason, it's kind of like, I believe in like the ebb and flows of the season, right? Like,
sure.
You guys, the Eagles, have their backs up against the wall, whereas Green Bay might be kind of feeling themselves a little bit at 3-0 when it was kind of unexpected. So I think those are reasons. I hate to say it, but I think you guys probably went on a last second field goal, maybe 24-21. Thanks, guys.
Nick, real quick, before we let you go, let me... Oh, no!
Ah, Nick.
Bailed.
Nick bailed on.
Man.
All right.
I was going to ask, because I think it's important to get context, right? Is Nick a typically nervous Green Bay Packers fan or a typically confident Green Bay Packers fan? Because we have those within our fan base, too, right? Where there are fans that say the Eagles are going to win every game.
Yep.
And then there are Eagles fans that hope,
yep,
but don't think that they're going to win any game. You know what I mean? So I want to know what Nick's background was
question.
There. Now it's one of the mysteries of life that I'll never know.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. But before we get to the running backs with our callers, Nick did mention, Joe, the fact that Alshon Jeffrey will be back. And
yes,
that's a big boost for this Philadelphia Eagles offense. It takes, as Nick said, a lot of pressure off of Nelson Aguilar and the young wide receivers out there, and Mac Hollins as well, where now you can focus on Ertz and Jeffrey. But we also know the defense is going to focus on Ertz and Jeffrey. So it's still going to be important for Aguilar and others to then step up and play their part. Maybe Nelson Aguilar won't feel the necessary pressure coming from within himself.
Sure.
When he knows that Alshon Jeffrey's on the other side, probably getting the best defensive back on the Green Bay Packers, where he's able to work out there and be himself and regain that confidence. And maybe Alshon Jeffrey can say some things to him on the field, more so than not being on the field last week, being on the sideline, to give him that confidence and what they're going to do. Remember the hype video.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, hey, you ready to do this? Let's make this money, is what Nelson Aguilar said. My man, you're dropping money.
Yeah, you're losing
you stuff
on,
like
the,
that.
On the field right now.
Make that money back.
The good news is, though, right, that the plan appears to have worked, right? Like, we were talking about how Alshon might have been kind of 50-50-ish for the Detroit game, and how if that were the case, you should sit and see if you're ready to go for the Green Bay game.
Because you thought you had enough to beat Detroit at home, and the game that you really were going to need was Green Bay, and you need your talent with you.
And apparently, according to Doug Peterson, everything's kind of full go when it comes to Alshon Jeffrey, right? So at the very least, it appears that that part of the plan ends up being successful. So does that mean that they're going to come in and he's immediately going to catch balls for 120 yards? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. But it does mean that you're not likely to see Alshon Jeffrey in decoy territory where he's just out there and there's not a whole lot actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
I would anticipate that he will be a guy who is at least able physically to make an impact on the game if the Eagles call upon him to do that.
Now, Joe Torti, Devine Givens, live from Craft Hall Brewery, 901 North Delaware Avenue, with you until midnight, 610-632-0975. Great spot here, the bars, the playground area for the family. You can take the kids down there, the Nintendo, all kinds of stuff that's going on. The calf injury, though, Joe, listen, we know how it goes. As a athlete, you have to push off. And when you're pushing off, you have to use, obviously...
Not like Darren Sproles.
Hey, not like that.
Not that kind.
With your legs.
Yes.
You have to push off with the calf. How much is that going to impact him or hurt him at all when he's trying to get out of his breaks off the line of scrimmage and get to where he needs to get within the route that he's running to get into a good spot, to also win those jump balls, to get enough lift off of the ground with the calf bothering him. If he's out there, he's out there. But that being said, these are things that we know we're going to be thinking about and talking about ahead of the game on Thursday against Green Bay, because it's something that he's going to need in order to be successful tomorrow night against Green Bay.
Well, and any time that there is a soft tissue situation, right, you never know how things are going to go with it, right? If it's a calf muscle, you can feel great one day and you feel terrible about it the next day. For example, it happened to me today. Like, I worked out yesterday and did some calf intensive stuff. It came to working out today and I felt great yesterday. Today I did not feel up to my normal standard that I normally would. And what changed? Yeah, some delayed onset muscle soreness, but really sometimes it's just, you know, day by day things right. change the way that they are, especially, and I didn't even have an injury the way that Alshon Jeffrey did. I'm concerned a little bit that, you know, he gets out there in that Green Bay air and all of a sudden doesn't feel as good as he did during this week of practice here in Philadelphia, where, by the way, it's felt like a summer week. You know what I mean?
No, it has. And as I look up what Green Bay's weather tomorrow...
Doing the same thing.
Joe, it looks like it's going to be 67 degrees, partly cloudy throughout the day. The low will be 54.
All right, so he'll be all right.
So he'll be all right. So you figure, yeah, he'll be fine. It's not going to rain until Friday in Green Bay. So 67 with that type of weather, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He should be fine.
Famous last one.
Yeah, again, Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, who do you want to see get the most touches for the Eagles against Green Bay tomorrow night? 610-632-0975. Eric in Allentown wants to talk about just that. What's going on, E?
Excuse me?
What's going on, man?
Oh, well, see you later.
All right. Let's keep it moving. We go to Keith, who wants to talk about the running backs. What's up, Keith?
Fellas, how you doing?
Hey, Keith.
Hey, listen, you ever get that feeling that, well, first of all, let me answer your question. I feel that there should be a combo of more Jordan Howard, but, of course, Sanders. But you get that feeling of, why did we kind of fall back on the Frank Reich offense of, we gave it to LeGarrette Blount for the power, third and four, third and five kind of type thing, and then gave it to Jay Jai for the first down for the sprint. We kind of lost that, and I think that's the formula that kind of gotten us to the Super Bowl. So why did we fall back from it? Because right now I feel like we're kind of like the Super Tecmo Bowl, where we got these eight fantastic plays that we keep running, but the defense of other teams are picking up on it. You know what I mean? So
Somebody called earlier, Keith, and said that maybe they're a little bit predictable. And to your point, yeah, he's leaning more towards the pass. And again, we know the pass is going to be king in the NFL. And Joe, you kind of went against it last night, saying that it's not necessarily king in the NFL, a passing league. There's a lot of passing, but there's also a lot of running. I don't know why, because they did have the success with LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. Maybe they just don't feel like these guys are good enough yet to go that route this point of the season, Keith.
Right. One last thing, too. I wouldn't sweat too much the Cowboys, because I think that whole thing was to build up Dak Prescott's his confidence, because he played the Dolphins, the Redskins, and the Giants. That was intentional, by the way. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about too much of the Cowboys. So all the Eagles fans...
Nah, you got to give them credit, man.
Around that. Don't worry about that. Let's focus on the Eagles. Let's focus on tomorrow. Let's get a win there. I'm thinking 2017 is pretty much where I'm looking at. But I'll be watching. I'm here. Go Green. Let's see how this works.
You got
Keith,
it,
good stuff, man.
Thanks, man. First of all, he said a good mixture of Jordan Howard being the lead back, but a nice balance between the two, Howard and Sanders. What do you think?
Well, I think that is not likely, considering the way that they have treated the backs. I just don't think that they're going to change their minds, right? Like, they have their decisions made that Miles Sanders is the top guy and that Jordan Howard's the second guy. Is that to say that Jordan Howard can't help you? I think that he absolutely can help you. I don't know that either of these guys have shown that they're worthy of being 18 carry per game backs in this offense. But like you said, if Sanders is getting 14 carries and Howard's getting 12 or 11, you know, what's the difference? Like, and vice versa, right? But one thing that I think is important to note is that I have always talked about, in terms of running backs in particular, there are guys with skill sets. And I think that deception in play calling is way more important than deception in play calling specifically related to running backs. So, you know, people are like, oh, well, if they've got Howard in there and they just keep running plays up the middle and they've got Sanders out there, they keep running outside zone plays and mm-hmm. Sproles always... I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, those guys are actually all good at those things. Like, I think that part of it is so overrated in terms of like, oh, they know when this back's in there, they're going to do this. Well, they still have to stop it. And you've got some talented guys in the offensive line. You've got some talented guys in the backfield. And obviously, you incorporate the play action pass, all kinds of things. There are things that you can do, but I think that outsmarting yourself and just being like, oh, we're going to mix everything up individually and it doesn't matter who is good at what back there is a huge mistake in misvaluing and misusing talent.
Absolutely, and just to Keith's point about the Dallas Cowboys.
They're a good team.
We're sitting here talking about the Eagles losing to the Falcons and the Lions, two teams that we feel like they should have beaten.
Yes.
Dallas has had who Dallas has had on the schedule, and they've beaten them. You can't take that away from them because look at what we're doing, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Your schedule is what your schedule is. You go out there and beat the opponents that you should beat. They should both be 3-0. Well, we obviously think the Eagles should be 3-0. The Cowboys are 3-0. But right now, the reality is they are 3-0. The Eagles are 1-2 right now with a chance to improve to 2-2 or fall to 1-3. And then that's problematic. And as you said, you have to make up too much ground,
right, regardless
if things
of who they
get
play.
Crazy. Because you're right, they have the Saints this weekend?
Yeah. They're probably going to beat
no
that team.
With no Drew Brees.
They're probably going to beat that team.
Yes.
Right. The Saints had their big win against Seattle. They're not going to take anybody by surprise.
No, they're not. So while we do not like the Dallas Cowboys, you cannot ignore the fact that they did their job with who was in front of them, presented in front of them, and they took care of their business.
Yeah.
They did.
I'm not in the disrespect Dallas
No,
camp.
I'm not there. 610-632-0975. Eagles running backs, who you want to see more tomorrow night? Who do you want to see get the bulk of the carries? Or do you want to see something that's a mixture of 10, 10, 12, 10, that kind of thing with Sanders and, of course, Jordan Howard, 610-632-0975. Yeah,
gets
I guess
his
so.
10 too, I'm
He'll
sure.
get his 10 touches, not 10 carries.
Well, we've
10
been talking
touches.
About that.
Alshon Jeffrey in his return. What does this mean for the Birds? Does that boost your confidence against the Green Bay Packers and their improved defense and your predictions as well? Eagles Packers tomorrow night, Thursday Night Football, 610-632-0975. Kraft Hall Brewery, 901 North Delaware Ave is where we are, and you can be here tomorrow as well. Andrew Salchunas with the watch party. Don't forget the green cayenne hot sauce on the green wings, $10 a pound during the NFL games, specifically tomorrow, Eagles games. Of course, Thursday night, you can have those green wings, 2-foot-long roast pork sandwiches, mini pretzel bites for the kids, and the mainstay beer pitchers as well. We are talking about the Birds as they celebrate quite a bit with those beer pitchers tomorrow
yes,
night.
Yes, indeed.
610-632-0975. Then you can go play Nintendo, go out there on the great deck, whatever you might want to do.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
All right, I'll see you in a minute. Joe Torre, Devon Givens live from Kraft Hall Brewery right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
A30975 The Fanatic. Joe Torre, Devon Givens with you until midnight.
Hey.
Live from Kraft Hall Brewery, 901 North Delaware Avenue. You talked about the October food specials. We've given away the information for the Eagles specials during the games, the green. We might be able to sample some of those wings at some point this evening.
Yeah, and we're definitely, if you can't picture what green chicken wings look like either, neither can I.
We will let you know.
Yeah, we'll let you know. We'll put them into the Twitter sphere.
The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Biscay, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubbiscay.com, 610-632-0975. Alshon Jeffrey back. What does it mean for the Eagles' offense facing the Green Bay Packers tomorrow, Thursday Night Football? Running back situation, who do you want to see more of, Miles Sanders or Jordan Howard? Has either of them really stood out for you to say, I want more of this running back
than
the other? We don't know. Actually, no, they haven't. 610-632-0975. We haven't talked about the defense against Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, there's time. Yeah, there's
time.
Time?
Yeah.
Because that's going to take a while.
3.5 hours, we can do that. Brian in Newtown next on the Fanatic. What's going on, Brian?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Brian, what's good, man?
Nothing much. So one of the problems, I think, is how we've been game planning. You know, I believe last week, first play of the game, we came out with an empty backfield. I think it's very important for us on the road in Lambeau to get the run game established early. And I think that's got to start with Howard. One of the big things is the fumbles. You know, you can't just look past that. We're staring 1-3 in the face right now. We can't afford something like that. I think Jordan Howard is a proven commodity, and we got to go with that. I think he should get the bulk of the carries, not completely eliminate Sanders out of the game plan, but Howard should probably be getting about 15 carries, in my opinion.
Well, and that's something that I also agree with you on and have, you know, once things got started there, Brian. But some of the things that we've seen over the last couple of days with the fact that he's been missing his running lanes when they've been there, clearly have been there, Brian, is a little concerning. Now, how much of that is him getting familiar, Joe, as we talked about last night, getting familiar with the new offensive line? But you've been in the league for 4 years now. That's really not an excuse, even though you are with a new team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I went to Penn State. I overlapped with Sanders one of those years. So I'm a sympathizer, and I know what they see in him. But he, you know, he's also not showing that he's found those holes. I'm looking at the stat line, 13 carries, 53 yards. You know, that's not the he hasn't had one, what I would say, explosive play. And I think maybe the one he did all season got called back on that, that bad holding call, which is a shame. But, you know, he's only shown that explosive miss once. So, I mean, you're banking on maybe that happens. He really hasn't found his groove yet. I'm not saying he won't find it as the season progresses, but we're a 1-2
team. But just not yet, yeah.
And we're betting on him finding his groove away at Lambeau when we have someone, Jordan Howard, who is familiar with Lambeau. You know, he played for the Bears for the past three seasons. I just think he's the guy that we should be leaning on more so.
I mean, that's a good call, Brian.
Thanks.
And to your point of Joe being in Lambeau, being a member of the Chicago Bears, he's been there the last few seasons, twice a year, right? Twice a year. So he has a familiarity with playing in Lambeau. And what is it about Lambeau? Is it the whole thing of being in Lambeau Field? Is that going to be too much for some of the guys who haven't been there yet? Or is it going to be, hey, it's just a normal place, Green Bay. Let's just go out there, do what we do, and see if we can come away with the win.
Yeah, and when you think about it, too, he's been through an offensive coordinator change as well, because Matt Nagy comes in, right, and he installs a different offense. Now Howard takes a back seat in that offense. Is it a fit question? Is it a picking up the offense question? Like, that was never really answered in Chicago. It just became apparent that they were going to be drafting other guys. Tariq Cohen becomes featured, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It does make you wonder, you know, if there is a specific system for Jordan Howard, if there's something specific that we do need to look at and be like, well, this is why or this is why not, this guy is considered one of the good starting running backs in the NFL.
Is a specific system and his running style outdated?
Right, yeah. Does that exist?
Does it exist anymore
in the modern NFL?
In 2019 in the NFL, maybe not.
I hope so.
Maybe not, but
why would you trade for that guy if I mean, Howie Rose?
You already knew who he was.
Yeah, he's not a guy who's like behind the times on this stuff. Usually, I would think, right? Like, that is what makes me think, well, I don't know. Maybe there's got to be more to this story, whether he's learning, whether it's that they're trying to feature Miles Sanders because he was a second-round pick. I think there are a lot of reasons why this could be the case.
Well, that's the case, and hopefully we see a lot more of both of them tomorrow, or one or the other, however they want to get it done get it done. Those backs out there. Saeed and Mount Laurel next on the Fanatic. What's going on, Saeed?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much, man. See, only thing that I don't understand, you know, is why, you know, especially as it pertains to Howard, and I want Howard to get the majority of the carries as well.
Wow.
Why don't we ever run the ball out of under center? You know what I mean? I don't get that.
Yeah, strictly shotgun.
We're always in shotgun, and when you get the ball to Howard in shotgun, it's the DeMarco Murray effect. And he's too slow to go laterally move and, you know, run out of the shotgun. I mean, Miles Sanders is a little bit better than that. A little bit better running out of the shotgun. But when Miles Sanders runs the ball, I just feel like he has no vision. You know what I mean? There's lanes available for him to cut back. He just doesn't see them, and all he does is run into blockers. Like, you can tell that there's open lanes available, but he doesn't go in that direction. He always runs towards the action. It's like, you know, like Shady would run towards this everybody else, but then he would cut back and bang, you know?
It's the same thing with Jordan Howard, though, and we've seen now video evidence of it after the fact where he does the exact same thing. So it's a problem for both of them as it stands right now.
Yeah, it is. And I just think Jordan Howard, he's a little bit slower. So I'd give him a little bit of benefit of doubt because maybe he's just not fast enough to react, you know. That's why I think we should run the ball under center more. You know, like, I think the last call is right. You know, we come out five wide receivers and the first play of the game. But why don't we ever do odd formation? I don't know if they have a fullback. Well, for Goddard, a fullback. Or come out under center, run the rock a couple times, get a nice ground game going. Because I don't see – it's like, you know, when we got DeMarco Murray with Chip Kelly. You know, that's what it feels like this year.
That's what people bring up all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it feels like. Because DeMarco Murray did the same exact thing. He tried to run him out of the shotgun, and he just ran into people. It just wasn't flowing. I just think we could switch it up in the run game. But I have a good feeling about tomorrow night. I think that, you know, if we can establish the run and play good red zone defense, we got a shot.
What's the score?
I'd say, you know, because Green Bay, the Packers offense isn't as doing as well as, you know, as they usually do this year. So I think that it's probably sort of a defensive game and maybe 23-20 Eagles.
23-20 Eagles. Saeed, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. And Joe, I don't think Devontae Adams has scored yet.
No, I don't think so either. There's a lot to think about on the Packers offense that has not gone well, right?
Like, you don't want it to start getting right against
the Eagles. I
don't
want to be the get right game.
No.
I really don't want that. Now, like, I think about that Thursday night game. That was abominable. That didn't work for anybody, but it did show that the defenses were ready. Chicago's defense is ready. Green Bay's defense also ready, right?
Like you say, offense is catching up to the defense after preseason.
Normally, that's the way it's supposed to work. So right around now is when the Packers would be rounding into form. Especially considering they've got a new coach who's an offensive guy trying to get on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. You'll remember that Green Bay was the site of Audible Gate, where everybody's asking if Aaron Rodgers has the ability to change the play at the line and the freedom to do so or not. All of these questions that we have about the Green Bay offense have all kind of been building up to this point where they're playing against an Eagles team that had very high expectations going into the season and also has a defense that's a little bit questionable.
Yep.
So it all kind of is a perfect storm situation. That's why I'm surprised in all these predictions that we're getting. A whole lot of optimism for the Eagles winning.
Not one Green Bay victory, I don't think. I think everyone has selected the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't remember one.
Yep. Maybe one, but no, I think they're all Eagles. All Eagles, all seven that we've asked so far on the phones. Eagles win over Green Bay tomorrow. Music to our ears. 610-632-0975. Running back situation, Howard or Sanders, where do you want to see a bulk of the carries go to? Or do you want to see more balanced offense between these two guys and run it with the running game? Because neither has really stood out so far. Your predictions, Eagles at the Packers tomorrow. How winnable is this game? They cannot fall to 1-3, a must-win situation, in my opinion. 610-632-0975. The Green Wings have arrived.
They're here.
Green Cayenne hot sauce on the wings. We will let you know about that on the other side as we broadcast from Craft Hall Brewery, 901 North Delaware Avenue. Until midnight, we're about to dive into these wings right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, we're at Crafts Hall Brewery here, 901 North Delaware Avenue. Joe Torti, Devon Gibbs with you until midnight. Nice crowd in here. Television's flowing. The Phillies on television as well. What do we have? One big screen, projection screen behind us. Three down in the family area, right?
Yeah, from where we are, there are at least seven available
televisions. Mike, how many do we have over there?
So how many we got?
We have the three down there and two big screens behind the main bar.
Yep. And then, of course, there's the projector behind us.
Yes, the projector. So there's no way you cannot see any of the Eagles game tomorrow night during the watch party with Andrew Southfield.
Yeah, you're here.
Or any Sunday, for that matter, or Friday or Saturday when you have the live music. You don't need the sound. Right? You don't need the sound from the game. You just listen to the live music here while you watch all of the games, whether it's the Phillies, Sixers, Eagles, Temple football, right? On the weekends.
Do we have to watch that? I'm just kidding. I love Temple football.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. I love watching Temple
football. All right, we'll say Penn football.
Yeah, there we go.
Let's go Penn football.
Went for two against 20th-ranked Delaware. Came up short.
Showing off.
So,
and we're showing off.
Yeah, the Green Wings, speaking of showing off.
So, Craft Hall Brewery showing off with these Green Wings, Joe.
So
they're showing off.
They show up, and
they're good.
I mean, I tweeted out, the wings are green. Like, they're definitely the green sauce on them, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm looking at them, I'm like, this smells delicious. I take a bite. I've never had cayenne wing sauce before. So there's a very, and especially green cayenne, like, because obviously they're doing it for the Eagles. They want to support the birds. It is one of the most interesting, unique-tasting wings that I've had. I would say that the heat is like a step above medium.
Yes.
And there's really, really good flavor in this as well. I'm a big fan.
There's definitely a kick to them. You cannot deny it. We can ask E about it a little later on. That he thumbs up.
Yeah,
he gave us a thumbs up. And
that guy like drinks hot sauce. So that's...
Now, I've had the cayenne green before, just not in the wing variety.
Okay. All right. How does it measure up on the wing?
Not bad.
Not bad, right?
Not bad.
Pretty good.
But I have to admit, on the menu, I do admit that I want to taste the honey barbecue now as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an entry wing. It's like a gateway wing that gets you into the all kinds of other wings. You know?
Yes. No question.
It invites you in because it's green. It's like, hey, check out my honey barbecue stuff.
No question. And can you tell us about the food specials for the Oktoberfest?
Well, the Oktoberfest.
Through Thursday, October 6th, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stuff that they've got here. Obviously, you know when you're talking about Oktoberfest food, you're going to get like the pretzels and the cheese and like the big soft pretzel kind of situations. Like that's standard stuff, right? But here you also get the schnitzel fingers, which I'm eyeing up. It's a pork cutlet that's breaded.
Yeah.
You get cabbage, salad, and served with horseradish, good stuff. And they've also got spare ribs. They've got stuff for the kids.
Stop right there. Spare ribs?
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely.
We can do that.
They're just hanging out there. And then, of course, you can get the fried cheese curds. You can get the Frankfurter. There's all kinds of good stuff here going on for the Oktoberfest food specials. That's only through, like you said, October 60.
All right, so we can do that. And for tomorrow night, the Green Wings that we have sampled here during the break. A few left that we're going to dive into during the next break. And the extra large game day roast pork sandwich. Foot long, half, $12. 2 foot. $20 for the whole thing. You cannot beat that.
Get a 2 foot sandwich.
$20.
$20.
That's it.
Come on, man.
That's it.
It's
and the mainstay beer pitchers, mini pretzel bites for the kids. Come on down. Stop by tomorrow night. Andrew Salchun is doing a watch party. And while we're here until midnight, 610-632-0975, talking some birds. We do have some other stuff to get into.
We sure do.
Sports that we will share with you as well. But Mike in Queens has been patient enough, hanging on, waiting for us. We go to Mike right now on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
You know, I've always been a big fan of Donovan McNabb. And, you know, in the offseason, he was ridiculed for making a comment stating that if Carson Wentz doesn't get out of the second round, they should get rid of him. I was upset for a completely different reason. I thought that was too generous from the standpoint of, if you're going to dump Nick Foles, who the team plays significantly better, Wentz has to at the very least get to the Super Bowl this year, especially with all the talk of getting DeSean Jackson and Jordan Howard. So I thought him saying getting in the second round, that wasn't good enough. But my biggest concern that I said this offseason was, people were dismissing the fact that the Eagles in the regular season, I'm not including the playoffs, they averaged 25 points per game in the regular season with Foles and only 22 with Wentz. That's not including the postseason, but just in the regular season, it was 25 points.
And that was last year or the year before during the Super Bowl?
Last year, in 2018.
Last year. Okay.
So, you know, the 30 points versus the Rams, 32 versus Texans, and obviously the other games, they were including the postseason stats, which, you know, statistically, all offenses are much down in the postseason because obviously teams know that it's one game, you know, at the end of the season, they prepare better. You know, offenses aren't as dynamic. But my point is, 95% of this current roster went 5-6 with Wentz. So that was a really big red flag. And when I look at this team, I do believe psychologically they know that they're a much better team than Nick Foles. So even if they might not dislike Wentz, when you feel like you have the wrong quarterback and you're not playing with the right guy from a chemistry standpoint, psychologically that can throw off maybe your timing, the focus might not be there. We're seeing with drops. The energy might not be there.
Let me ask you something, Mike, because you're raising a lot of points statistically about it, obviously, but does Wentz having a broken back last year play any role in this?
It would if his numbers weren't good, meaning if you look at statistically, Wentz had better numbers than Nick Foles last year, which proves even more how big of a mistake they made, because the team around Foles played a lot better, offensively and defensively. So that was another red flag, because, you know, if his statistics were really bad last year, you can make a case, okay, well, that's why they went 5-6, but that's not the case, because his numbers across the board were better than Foles. So that's another example of, you're giving a guy money who doesn't raise the level of guys around him, who the team doesn't play better with, and they don't have a better chemistry with, so why are you getting rid of Nick Foles? The only reason you'd get rid of Nick Foles is if you're saying that Carson Wentz is going to take this team to levels that Nick Foles can't. So unless this guy's going to win multiple Super Bowls, why are we getting rid of Nick Foles? If we're making excuses why he can't beat the Lions and the Vikings of last year and the Panthers who were bad last year, when Nick Foles put a 41 against Belichick, then what are we doing? Why are we paying this guy's money? So I believe Donovan McNabb should not have been ridiculed in the offseason. Everything he said was on point, that they should have gotten rid of him.
Real quick, because we're up against it here, what does Foles do better than Wentz on an individual level?
On an individual letter, I think from a swagger standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from just the chemistry, certain guys have that it factor. I think Nick Foles is a unique guy, just like Tom Brady has certain intangibles. Nick Foles has certain unique qualities that raises the level of guys around him, and I think he's just more likable. And I think
how come that hasn't come out to him being a starter anywhere else in the league before this season?
Because from a talent standpoint, he obviously talent of Carson Wentz, but I think in Philadelphia, it's a perfect spot, just like with Tom Brady, who was a perfect spot with Belichick, with New England. You know, Tom Brady, if he was on a different team, who knows, he could have been out of the league years ago. But I do believe that they made a very big mistake getting rid of Foles. Unless Wentz gets to a Super Bowl this year, they made a monumental mistake.
Yeah, they don't look like a Super Bowl team this year, Mike. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. And that's not Wentz's fault. The only thing you can do is compare yourself to your peers, right? Like, if I'm comparing myself to, you know, a salesperson or something like that in Kansas City, that's just not a fair thing to do. And,
sure.
And Mike, I've heard you on the airwaves talking about how Carson Wentz can't do this and Carson Wentz can't do that. And believe me, I like Nick Foles. I do.
Yes.
Carson Wentz throws the ball better, runs better, reads defenses better, throws guys open better. The deep ball is literally, there's no difference between them if you look at them statistically. From a leadership perspective, there are just as many people that think that Carson Wentz is a great leader as opposed to Nick Foles, because you notice that it was, you know, kind of a split locker room last year, where it's not hard to figure out who the people thought Nick Foles was a good leader, you know, people building shrines to him in the locker room. And then, you know, everybody else who's talking about how Carson Wentz is our quarterback. So other than running, yes, throwing, reading defenses, analyzing things and throwing people open, Nick Foles is great. He also doesn't stay healthy as well as Carson Wentz does, because he's never made it more than, what, 11 games in a season.
And, you know, we have to point out, of course, the injuries to Carson Wentz. Can we give him the chance when he gets there to see if he can get it done or not?
I kind of like 2017. I thought that was pretty cool.
We haven't seen him there yet.
Healthy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. 610-632-0975. Joe in Dover, we get to you first on the other side. Hang in there. We're live from Craft Hall Brewery, 901 North Delaware Avenue. We have some wings left. We're going to dive into them, and we're going to rub it in and tell you guys about it on the other side here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.